Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The readings for this weekend describe God's righteousness, His great passion to set all things right, especially when it comes to the poor, the neglected, and the needy of our society. A great example of this is Israel. Israel as a nation. Now, it's no accident at all that God chose Israel as His chosen and holy nation. Now, realize, the Greeks, the Babylonians, the Persians, these were all great and very strong empires, but God did not choose them. Instead, He chose Israel, a people that were oppressed, and it is precisely out of their own suffering that came a keen and a great sense and understanding of God's justice for the poor. In the first reading, we hear from the book of the prophet Amos. Now, for the past 2 weeks, we've been hearing from Amos, and therefore it's important for us to understand who this is. Amos is considered a minor prophet in the Old Testament, but his message is extremely important nonetheless. Amos, it's estimated, lived in the 8th century BC, and therefore he is one of the, if not the, oldest of all the Old Testament prophets. He lived before Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Amos was an average person. If you read from the very beginning of the book of the prophet Amos, he tells us exactly who he is. He's a dresser of sycamores, which means he's a tree trimmer. He's an average person like you and I. And yet when God calls him to become a prophet, he preaches against social injustice. That's his passion. Now, one of the central tenets of our faith, the Catholic faith, is our compassion for one another, especially our compassion for the poor, the neglected, and the downtrodden in our society. How do we, as a people of God, love these people in need? St. John Chrysostom once said, "A good test of our religious conviction is precisely the way we treat one another, especially those in need." And see, this is what Amos is directing his attention at. Listen now what he says in the first reading. "Woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall." Here Amos is criticizing the Israelites for their complacent way in which they forget and deny to recognize that there are people in need in their own country that need help, and that they refuse out of their own complacency to help these people. Now, it's important for us to understand the context in which this first reading is set in. During the time of Amos, Israel as a nation was divided into two kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was a very well-off, rich kingdom. There were very many people, very affluent, and they were very strong. However, in the northern kingdom, they were not as fortunate. They fell on very difficult economic times. There were many people out of work, many people homeless, poor, and hungry. And see, this is what Amos is referring to when he says, "They," which means the southern kingdom, "they drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best of oils, and yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph." Well, Joseph is clearly messaging the northern kingdom. It is on the verge of collapse because of what they are suffering. And here Amos is criticizing the southern kingdom because they know what's going on in the northern kingdom. They know that their fellow countrymen are suffering up there, and yet they don't care. They're indifferent to the suffering of the people in the northern kingdom. That's why They lie on their couches and they strum their harps and they eat these sumptuous meals. They are indifferent to the suffering of the needy and the poor. Now, Amos's teaching is also important for us because this is something that we need to heed ourselves in our own day and age. I often preach, we are all linked together, first and foremost through baptism and then subsequent sacraments. We make up the body of Christ. We must therefore depend upon each other. Now, I often give you that example of the organs of a body. The organs of a body depend upon each other so that the whole body will remain whole and healthy and alive. Now realize, each organ of the body has a separate function. The liver is not the stomach and the stomach is not the lungs, and yet they must all work together in order for the body to remain healthy. Therefore, the liver cannot say to the lungs, "Lungs, I know you have cancer, but you're not going to affect me." Well, wrong. After a while, that cancer is going to spread and touch all the organs of the body. The organs cannot be indifferent to each other, nor can we. And see, this is exactly what Amos is telling the southern kingdom. They cannot be indifferent to the suffering of the people in the northern kingdom. And more importantly, if they don't act, sooner or later, they will suffer the same consequences themselves. That's why he says at the very end, "Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry will be done away with." It's true, the northern kingdom will be conquered because the southern kingdom did not help them. And then a few centuries later, the southern kingdom will be conquered themselves because of their indifference and their complacency. And see, this is a great precursor to the gospel. In the gospel, Jesus gives us that classic parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, we might know this parable in a different title. Some of us may know it as Dives and Lazarus. Dives is just a Latin word for rich man. And yet, the message is perfectly clear. It talks about how we must care. We have a duty and a responsibility to care for the poor and the needy in our society. Notice how it begins. "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple garments and fine linen." Well, he's dressed in purple garments. Purple is the color of royalty. It tells us from the very beginning, this man is wearing very expensive apparel. Next, it says, "He dined sumptuously each day. Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would have gladly eaten his fill of scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores." Dogs in the ancient world were considered unclean animals, and yet it is there in which Lazarus lives. He now lives with the dogs. He is an outcast. Society doesn't even recognize him anymore. Now, when we hear this, we cannot help but cry out for justice. And it happens. Both men die. Lazarus is taken up with the angels to heaven. And this rich man is taken down into hell. And so we see God's righteousness, his great passion to set all things right. Now, throughout the gospel, we see Jesus constantly preaching this. God's passion to set things right. Christ once said, "It is not sacrifice that I desire, but justice." Go into the Beatitudes. Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger." There's that great parable of the judgment of nations. "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink, a stranger and welcome you?" Jesus says, "Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it for me." Therein lies the great message for us all. We cannot be complacent or indifferent. We must be aware of the people that need our help in society and then act upon it, help them. There's that great story of Mother Teresa in which she's interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter asks her. He says, how can you do this? You know, how can you feed the hungry, comfort the dying, you know, clean the filthy, and give shelter to the homeless? How can you do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 30 years without burning out? Well, Mother Teresa looked at the reporter and she says, I can feed babies that are starving. I can bind and clean the wounds of the homeless. And I can comfort those people that are dying because I look into their faces. And when I do so, I see the face of Jesus Christ and I cannot turn away. In fact, I am compelled out of love to help them. Friends, I think that's a powerful message for each and every one of us. We must have the courage to look into the face of those people that need our help in society. Look into their face and see the face of Jesus Christ and not look away, but instead, out of love, go and help them. Now you say to yourself, okay, I get it. So what should I do now? Well, first and foremost, pray. We should always be praying for one another. Pray for the people maybe in your parish that have been laid off, maybe are experiencing difficult economic times. Pray for our country. Pray for all the poor in this world. So that's the first thing we should do, prayer. Second, keep your eyes open and be aware of those people in need. Maybe there is somebody here in the parish that needs our help. There are countless families here right now in many of the parishes that have lost their jobs or have experienced difficult situations because of the recession. Well, look upon them and see that they are in need of our help and go and help them. Maybe there are people in our own neighborhood, maybe just a few doors down. Maybe there's a person whose spouse has died and now they're all alone. Well, go knock on their door. And just ask them, are you doing okay? I'm concerned about you. Maybe there's somebody a few blocks down from your house, maybe across the street, and you know that one of their family members is now in the hospital. Well, go call them up. Knock on their door and say, and ask if there's anything that you can do. Maybe you know a friend or a relative, family member who's lost their job, been laid off. Go call them up. Tell them, you know, I just made dinner. How about if I bring it over? Another way in which we can heed the words of the prophet Amos and Jesus is the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Providential enough, tomorrow we celebrate the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul. St. Vincent established this great organization for the express purpose of helping the poor and the needy and the downtrodden of our society. The St. Vincent de Paul program is wonderful. And it's a great way in which we can engage and help all those people in our society that need our help. My dad was part of the St. Vincent de Paul Society of our parish for many, many years. And as a very small boy, he used to take me on visits to families that were in need of help. And at a very early age, my eyes were open to the plight of the poor. People that were starving in need of food, people that need help with paying their utilities, whatever it was, St. Vincent de Paul Society was always there to lend a helping hand. These are just a few ways in which we can put the words of the prophet Amos as well as Jesus Christ into action. My friends, the teaching for us this weekend is very clear and important. We must, with all courage, look into the face of the needy in our society and not turn away. We must not be complacent or indifferent. We must look into the face of those people that need our help and be compelled. See the face of Jesus Christ in their faces and, out of love, be compelled to help them. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.